Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to The Balance, the only sports talk show that gives a well-balanced diet of sports. Host Tom Marquis and the gang are ready to break down this week in sports. This is the one place where fanatics can come together and talk about their favorite teams. The Balance brings you an analytical breakdown of sports from a fan's point of view. So sit back and get ready. It's time for The Balance.
Boy's got a mouth like a cannon, always shooting it off.
It is Saturday morning, and you know what that means. My minions, you have, as you always do on a Saturday morning, stumbled across the number one internet sports talk station show in the world. We welcome all of our affiliate stations and all of those that are listening to us also non-live, such as Indiana Talks and all of our internet affiliate as well as our affiliate radio stations. My name's Tom Marquis. You know me also as El Presidente. And for the next 2 hours, I will guide you through a maze of sports. You do not have to rely on ESPN. You do not have to rely on Fox Sports. Although those are all good sources, you have me, El Presidente, to just walk you through the journey of sports. 917-889-8516. Commit it to memory. Those are the numbers you need to get in touch with me and be a part of today's show. You want to talk some racing? Well, I want to talk with you about some racing. We're going to talk some IndyCar, NASCAR. Is there no more smoke left in Tony Stewart? We're going to talk about that. Obviously, his season coming to an abrupt end. And also, we're going to talk about that and tie it in with a recent crash that Elio was in. He's okay. But one of the conversations we're going to get into during our racing segment is, should race car drivers during their season be racing in other series? Maybe you agree, maybe you disagree. I want to hear your thoughts. 917-889-8516. You can follow us on our social media mecca, T-Balance, as well as Facebook, The Balance. And, hey, let's not forget our sister company, Indy Pro Sports, www.indyprosports.com. And follow them on Pro Indy. Well, guys, I tell you what, we're still talking racing, but this week we're going to kind of begin to make a little bit of a shift in things. As we know here at The Balance, we kind of follow the seasons, and it is that time again. It is getting very, very close to college football, so we're going to talk a little college football in around about 30 minutes or so. We're going to mix that in with some racing. 10 o'clock, Meet Your Makers are back. They've had a good week, and we're going to talk with Brad and Chris about their adventures this week with Meet Your Makers. 10:15, Mr. Ed Kratz, beat writer for Calkins Media and your Philadelphia Eagles. Of course, they went head-to-head with the New England Patriots last night. We're going to talk to him about that game and about the camp with the Philadelphia Eagles and what all that we can look for. And obviously, they're surrounded by their own controversy as well, because one Mr. Cooper just decided to open his mouth. We're going to talk with him a little bit about that. 10:30, we're going to be talking NFL, fantasy football, everything to put everything get together, because all the drafts begin this next week. We should be having the balanced draft this next week, and I know a lot of people are having their drafts coming up this week, so we do want to get you ready for the draft. $2 Bill Josh and Chad, a.k.a. Axel, will be joining us. Guys, I'm telling you what, We've got a great show for you. You don't want to go away. Stay right there. Get ready to call. We want to talk.
Hi, I'm Mark Timmons of U.S. Water Systems, a family-owned Indiana company that sells water treatment equipment around the world. But we especially know Indiana water because our world headquarters are right here in Indy. You have bad water in your home or business? Whether you're on city or well water, uswatersystems.com makes it easy to solve your water problems. We offer videos, all sorts of water conditioning equipment, and tech support 365 days a year by certified water specialists. U.S. Water has reverse osmosis systems, water softeners, and salt-free water conditioners from $179. Visit us at uswatersystems.com.
Over the course of history, there have been many great revolutions. The French Revolution, the American Revolution, the Cuban Revolution, and now in 2012, there's a brand new revolution for the fan. The Fan Revolution, IndyProSports.com. That's IndyProSports.com. IndyProSports is for the serious Indiana fan who roots for the Colts, the Pacers, the Indians, and so much more. Make sure you check out IndyProSports.com. Be a part of the revolution on Twitter, Pro Indy, and on Facebook, Indy Pro Sports.
Fast Lane Cycles Incorporated, located at 100 Gasoline Alley Suite D in Indianapolis, specializes in quality performance for your bike. A distributor for all major suppliers, we can do everything from service and motor work to customizations and insurance estimates. Give us a call at 317-247-8088. Fast Lane Cycles Incorporated at
317-247-8088. I want to go fast. I'm going to make that pass.
Closing in on a new track record here at the Mid-Ohio Sports Car Course. Welcome back, guys, at IndyCar Series race weekend action from Lexington, Ohio. James Hinchcliffe in the GoDaddy car, Mark, just got the car sideways coming up the hill off of 8. Hinch is going to take the corner, get over the curb.
He caught a lot of that curbing, and it really upset the balance of the race car.
Yeah, so red flag's going to come out. That's our first of the day. An outstanding crowd on a beautiful day here in Lexington, Ohio, at the Mid-Ohio Sports Car Course. Here we go. The Honda Indy 200 at Mid-Ohio is underway. And the leader is our pole setter, Ryan Hunter-Reay, and they're racing hard on the opening lap. Luca Felipe right now, the biggest mover since the start. Pace is blistering early on.
Nice work from Graham Rahal. That's good forceful driving.
Marco Andretti, he's giving us spot after spot after spot.
Whoa!
Serbia loses it and then catches it.
All three of the top guys coming on the pit road at the same time.
So Charlie Kimball is now shown as the leader.
Okay, we got to make some hay for this strategy to work here.
Pagano and Kimball are on a three-stop strategy. Hunter-Reay, Power, and Dixon are all on a two-stop strategy. They've got to save so much fuel to do it on two stops.
We need better than that.
Yeah, you got to be kidding me.
Fuel save, force is lap. We don't have a choice.
We're going to get killed on this strategy, though. It seems like we're so slow.
Power's going to beat out Hunter-Reay.
You were too far out. The fuel guy couldn't reach.
Simon Pagenaud is going to take the lead for now because of this pit stop.
We are set for a thrilling end between Simon Pagenaud and Charlie Kimball.
Great stop. Simon Pagenaud is down and away.
Kimball's just past me now. Go, go, go.
Pagenaud is just coming around the corner there. You got to get him.
Charlie Kimball right on the heels of car number 77. A late break. What a move by Charlie Kimball. He grabbed first place in his car number 4.
Bring this baby home.
That could be the move of the race.
But this is where the fight is on. The top two in the championship here. Every position counts because Dixon needs to finish ahead of Castro Neves. Charlie Kimball, you're an IndyCar race winner.
That's all on the strategy, boys. Woo!
I haven't seen Chip Ganassi this excited about a win in I don't know how long.
I guess you could say we won the two-stopper race.
Charlie made a fantastic move going into fourth. Man, I've got to congratulate him, you know. He deserves it.
Now that last pass on Simon for what turned out to be the win, it was a little bit about momentum and a lot about commitment.
The plan was flawless. The execution was flawless. And it results in a first-time winner in the Izod IndyCar Series.
All right, my minions, welcome back to The Balance. My name's Saul Marquis, El Presidente. And as you can hear, that was a recap from Mid-Ohio, one of the driver's most favorite courses to go to next to Indianapolis, and certainly their favorite road course to go to. Great race for Charlie Kimball. Inside joke here, the driver I don't like. That is totally false, though I do want to discount all the rumors about that. I do like Charlie Kimball, and I think he's got a great car. But that's a little inside joke between the staff here at The Balance. But, Charlie, we love you. Congratulations on your first win in IndyCar. And this is what we're seeing here in IndyCar all year long. We're seeing some first-time winners. Look at James Hinchcliffe. And we are beginning to see what we've talked about here on the show several times. We are beginning to see the new generation of IndyCar drivers begin to mature and begin to make themselves known in the IndyCar circuit. Congratulations, Mr. Charlie Kimball. Obviously, in a nutshell, Charlie Kimball's team put on a risky, I would think, off-sequence strategy early in the going, and you know, certainly it paid off big time into spades, as they would say. And you know, to kind of give you a recap here, Kimball drove his tail off all day long, and I tell you what, that was a great race. I really enjoyed watching that race myself, and I tell you what, he really had to just really get into it, if you will, get in the trenches with Simon Pagenaud in the race's closing laps. But ultimately, Kimball prevailed and delivered his first ever IndyCar Series win. You know, really, I think probably the key moment in that race, we'd like to hear your thoughts on it. If you want to talk about the Mid-Ohio race, if you want to talk some NASCAR, go ahead and give us a call, 917-889-8516, or tweet us at T-Balance. But Simon Pagenaud was on a comparable pit stop to Kimball anyway, and actually got himself out in front of Kimball after his last pit stop on lap 73. Kimball wasn't to be fazed, though. However, and stayed on Pagenaud's gearbox from the pit exit all the way to the backstretch before executing a beautiful pass in the next turn and move that ended up winning the race for the 28-year-old American driver. And I'm sorry, guys, I know this probably stirs the pot a little bit, but thank God we got some American drivers who are winning races like that. A little redneck on you. But it was good. I'll tell you what, and we talk about Charlie Kimball. He had a good practice during practice. Charlie Kimball, though, did have a pretty good crash. And actually, in a lot of ways, we didn't know if Kimball's car was even going to be able to go. So hard in that first glance that really, we thought that he was injured in the practice there. His team was forced to go. Obviously, they could just sit with a backup car. But in the end, Maybe that's the thing. You talk about superstition. Wreck your car in practice. Go with the backup car for the win. No, I highly would not recommend that you try that at home. You know, certainly when Charlie Kimball stepped in the Izod IndyCar Series as a rookie, remember back in 2011, just a few years ago, I don't think any of us ever imagined that he would become into maybe ever become an IndyCar winner. But that's what we've talked about here on the show. And, you know, one of the great causes that Kimball really stands up for is diabetes. And he's the only licensed IndyCar driver who has full-fledged, is that the right word to use, diabetes? But and certainly in his car, insulin for racing is a big voice for diabetes and research and that sort of thing. So, you know, hats off, Charlie Kimball. And no matter what anybody tells you around the Balance Studio, I love you. Great job, great job, great job. Also, let's talk a little bit of off-track humor. As you know, a lot of the IndyCar teams, they spend a lot of time here in Indianapolis, which is where we flagship out of in the heart of racing, the racing mecca of the world. And we got another big race coming up this next weekend, the MotoGP. So we here in Indiana, in Indianapolis, we have the Indiana State Fair going on right now. So how cool was that? If you were out earlier this week, maybe Tuesday or Wednesday, I can't remember exactly what day it was, you were out at the fair, you probably saw a beaver walking around. Yeah, a beaver. Maybe, you know, that's a state fair, you know. But he was also riding a tricycle. Maybe that's not so, you know, it's Indiana. But it was one. Alex Tagliani, tag man, lost the bet to Scott Dixon in a fundraiser for charity. Scott won, raised more money, so they were walking around. And, yes, if you missed it, we'll try to get some photos up. I think Michelle's going to try to get a photo of the tag man. In, we certainly posted it throughout the week, but we'll try to refresh that if we can at all. In the beaver suit and riding his little tricycle. And if you saw the front page of the Indianapolis Star, you saw the picture, too, that we're going to try to hit up as well. But fun times out at the Indiana State Fair. Tag, great sport about it, and got to wear a beaver suit and ride a little tricycle around. And, of course, Scott Dixon took every moment of that opportunity to gloat and brag, as he should. As again, it was all for charity and great things those guys do to give back to the community. Well, what's up next for the Izod IndyCar? Got a three-week break. The next stop for the series is the Sonoma Raceway in California, and really a prestige. That is a pretty cool, really out there racing in the desert. I mean, it looks like a video game when they're out there racing. GoPro Honda Indy Grand Prix of Sonoma. The race will be carried live on both NBC networks and Sirius XM 211 at 4 p.m. on Sunday, August 25th. So got a little bit of a break going on there. You know, I want to talk a little bit. I wanted to get into this conversation here while we're still talking some racing. Helio Castroneves is okay. Obviously, he's the points leader in the IndyCar series. Helio Castroneves had a crash, and it was just minor injuries during a practice for a stock car race out in Brazil. The three-time Indy 500, as he got some cuts to his legs and the back of his neck, and it was in some pain after a crash at a track in Brazil. And Helio, tweeted out, it says, painkillers make me feel good. That's the good news. But, but you know, I guess it just brings up a debate that's not only in IndyCar, we'll talk about it here in a moment with NASCAR, but should IndyCar drivers, I guess that's the question of the day. Should IndyCar drivers, NASCAR drivers, just put race car drivers, if you're an elite professional driver like Tony Stewart or Helio, should you, especially if you're headed for the chase, and or in Helio's case, the points leader, should you, one, either be allowed by IndyCar, or two, just do it, race in another race in another series. I understand that it brings money. I understand that it puts butts in the seats. I understand sponsorship. I understand money. But at the end of the day, where the real sponsorship is and where the real money is for Elio is IndyCar, and for NASCAR, for Tony is NASCAR. That's their race. That's their series. That's, you know, I guess we could equate it to the fact that, you know, in NFL, for example, they're not allowed to go out there and even so much as play flag football during the season. Contracts prohibit that from happening. So I guess that's the question I propose to you. Should race car drivers drive in other series? Because here's the thing. We're not just talking about, you know, a little go-kart charity race. We're talking about some serious racing. And Tony Stewart in the Sprint Cup Series, I understand that he's a team owner. I get that. And that's fine. Be a team owner. But don't get in the car and drive when – one, your sponsors, two, your fans are counting on you in another series. You know, maybe I'm the only one that thinks that, hey, when you're racing for NASCAR full time, and I know we've heard Roger Curtis say the same thing. He was talking about Ryan Newman last Saturday we had him on the show. He was talking about Ryan Newman. At the end of the day, all these guys want to do is go out and race. And I'm good with that. Go race. There's video games. I guess what I'm trying to say is take care of who takes care of you. And in IndyCar, in Elio's case, IndyCar, Elio, you would not be Elio Castaneves if it wasn't for IndyCar. Tony Stewart, you would not be Tony Stewart if it wasn't for NASCAR. So it brings up the debate. 917-889-8516. Want to hear your thoughts on it. Let's talk about that. What do you think about drivers getting into a car in another series and, quite frankly, putting themselves at risk? What would happen? Of course, God forbid this did happen, but what would happen if Tony Stewart or Elio got in a – and I'm using these guys, it could be any driver – gets in another series, and we see it happen all the time with other different drivers. So it's certainly not to single these two out, but they're certainly two of the most well-known race car drivers. And in the same week, Tony Stewart ends his season because of a broken leg, because of a crash that he had. And Elio crashes. Fortunately, everything's okay. But what would happen, God forbid, if the worst tragedy would happen to one of these drivers? Now, and I know there's probably the side of the argument that says, you know, hey, that's what these guys do. They're race car drivers, and they've got the itch. You can't take the itch away. They need it scratched, and the only way they can scratch it is to get inside of a race car. So maybe that's your side of your conversation on it. I want to hear your thoughts, and certainly if you're listening to us on Indiana Talks, feel free to shoot us a Facebook. Just go on Facebook right now, search The Balance. We're pretty easy to find. Or on Twitter, T-Balance. I want to know what your thoughts are. What are your thoughts about race car drivers driving another series? Yeah, it's not. We're not going to stop it here on this show, and it's probably never going to stop. And quite frankly, maybe that's part of the draw. But I just look at situations that happen with Elio and Tony, especially Tony, and am just concerned. Now, for example, right now, Tony, maybe he wouldn't win another championship, but he certainly was right there in the thick of things. And getting in the chase with NASCAR, no driver gets in a race car with the expectation that they're going to get in a wreck, a season-ending wreck. But it happens, and you know, I think. And I got to check the facts on this, but this last wreck wasn't the only wreck for Tony Stewart. Maybe there should have been some warning signs that he should have heeded. Quite frankly, Tony, it's not the first time anybody, you know, you got that love-hate relationship with your fans, and which with NASCAR, that's great. But quite frankly, Tony, I think you just really disappointed the fans in this. You know, you just had a second surgery. You're out indefinitely. You're suffering maybe a little bit of pain in the leg, but your fans are suffering, and they're not going to be able to watch Tony Stewart race for the Chase. And I'm sure that Tony is not unapologetic of that. I'm quite sure of that. But the thing is, at some point, I think IndyCar, NASCAR, whatever series, if you're a professional race car driver and your series is a fill in the blank, during your race season, or maybe we'll even put a clause in there, if you're in a chase or you're in a championship run, you're not allowed to get in another car. Find another way to scratch your itch. I can tell you that's not going to happen. I can tell you that right now because there are bigger voices that will keep that from happening. But as a race car fan, I love racing, and I love to, you know, here, like I said, living here in the Mecca of Indianapolis. And one of the things that we do on this show is we kind of give a voice to the fan. And I understand that a lot of people, oh, man, it's so cool to go out to Tony's track and watch him, you know, get in the sprint car, the Silver Crown Series, and go around. And, you know what? I was out at my local track, and I got to see Tony Stewart. That's great. You know, and that from there is a certain element of fans that like that. I mean, you're on the other side of the coin. But if you're in a chase for a championship, that's why sponsors sponsor you. Because you win, and you bring name to their brand. Looking at Quicken Loans, for example, Tony Stewart is a Quicken Loans driver. Quite frankly, Ryan Newman at this point is doing more for Quicken Loans than Tony Stewart. And, you know, we just did some checking. It is the third time Stewart has wrecked in the past month while competing in extracurricular races. I want to hear your thoughts. 917-889-8516. And would love to talk with you about that. Or, you know, it doesn't have to necessarily be about that. We'll talk about anything. You know, Ryan Newman, talking about Ryan Newman, we had a good conversation with the president of the Michigan International Speedway last Saturday here on the show. I love that interview. And you know what? I've got that archived, and we will at some point later on the year when we have our best of. You better believe that interview is going to be on the best of. We love you, Roger. Thanks for coming on. But had a great conversation with him about Ryan Newman. You know, and Ryan Newman, he did win the Brickyard. Let's hats off to him, and we move on. Ryan Newman says there's still one trophy missing from the shelf, and Ryan Newman's 17 Sprint Cup Series victories have come at various venues, you know, across the circuit, from a super speedway win in the 50th running of the Daytona 500 to a short track victory at Martinsville. Really, it seems Newman has won a lot of different types of races, and have won races in different types of tracks. More races. We even got into that conversation. More races than Danica. However, there's one trophy that's missing from his shelf, and that's a victory at Watkins Glen, and that could happen this weekend. And of course, if that happened, Newman would join an elite list of drivers who have won every type of track on the Sprint Cup circuit, super speedway like Texas or Indianapolis, speedway, intermediate, short track, road courses. Newman came close to winning, if you remember, at Watkins Glen during his rookie year back in 2002. Man, you know what? I'm showing my age here. I remember Ryan Newman, another Indiana boy, getting to NASCAR. But he started fifth and led 11 laps, I believe, back there at Watkins Glen. As you might remember, during that year, Tony and Ryan were not teammates, but Tony went on to beat him across the finish line by 1.636 seconds. It's pretty doggone fast. In the 11 Career Cup, Sprint Cup starts at Watkins Glen. Newman has the one top five finish and three top tens, while he has never won there. So what a great win that would be for Ryan Newman to pick up a win out at Watkins Glen International Speedway. So we want to hear your thoughts, guys. We're going to take a break. We get back, we're going to talk some more NASCAR. And also, it's time to talk some college football right here on the Balance. Guys, I'm going to tell you what. This show goes faster than any show you've ever been a part of. So if you're sitting there on your computer, on your phone, on your radio, and you're listening to us right now, you need to be calling. You need to be a part of the show. 917-889-8516 or tweet us, TBalance. And if you're over there on Indiana Talks and listening to our encore presentation right now, well, just pick up your little old phone there and tweet us. We want to hear what you got to say. We'll be right back right here on the Balance. Don't go away, my minions. My name's Saul Marquis, Il Presidente. Take
Fastlane Cycles Incorporated, located at 100 Gasoline Alley Suite D in Indianapolis, specializes in quality performance for your bike. A distributor for all major suppliers, we can do everything from service and motor work to customizations and insurance estimates. Give us a call at 317-247-8088. Fastlane Cycles Incorporated at 317-247-8088.
Today's consumer spends 1.4 times as many hours using social networking sites than reading and responding to email. Marquee Solutions works with your company to build a solid social strategy. They are with you from start to finish, always there to help you navigate through the complexities of social media. Call Marquee Solutions today, 317-903-8063. That's 317-903-8063. Marquee Solutions, work with them today.
199 left, and baby, it all comes down to this.
Your talk show for NASCAR.
Yeah, now that's what I'm talking about.
The Balance Online.
Two laps to go. Who's going to win?
Into turn one for KTK on the
here.
Outside.
Yes, you and him. Still there.
Hey, when you're the leader, you don't have anything to judge off of down there. I think Jeff Gordon was a little too easy getting down in there. What's going to happen in the tunnel here?
Wow. Casey Kane just drove that car in the corner.
Wow.
That was impressive fast right there. He did not get a very good restart.
Now, we've seen that a number of times. But wow, the run that he made down into one and off of there. And then that was an incredible corner that he made through turn two.
He drove off into turn one, and I still don't think he's lifted yet.
White flag is up. We're in the final lap. Three more tricky Pocono corners for Casey Kane. And one that almost got away might be coming back to him.
Driver that I've been waiting and waiting and waiting to break out and to just tear off two or three wins. What a performance by them today.
Yeah, not only are they moving up inside, well inside the top 10, a second victory for the year. We're going to talk about him being a part of the chase for sure.
And not only that, probably being a championship contender.
The checkered flag at Pocono today, Casey Kane. Jeff Gordon will get second after that last restart when Kane sailed it off to the turn one on the outside and made it stick.
Good job, guys. Yeah, we needed that. Way to go. Great car. Fast car here. Thanks.
Has a great redemption. Him taking the lead the way he did that on purpose. Went down and turned one, like you said, Alan, never lifted, I don't think, till he got around to the white flag.
And there you have it, Mr. Casey Kane winning out at Pocono, going neck and neck with Jeff Gordon. And you know what? It was good to talk a little bit of IndyCar. It was good to see IndyCar back at Pocono this year. Well, certainly a win out there in Pocono in the foothills of Pennsylvania. Casey Kane pretty much took him off the chase bubble, if you will. And, you know, you heard the announcer say that. I totally agree. This is one driver that's just been right there making it happen. So it's good to see some new drivers, some new faces take the checkered flag, especially against Jeff Gordon, who's very, very experienced out there at Pocono. As one driver was in victory lane celebrating a win at Sunday at Pocono Raceway, that virtually, I think, secured or cemented his playoff status. Well, another was laminating a race that had gotten away, and that was Jeff Gordon. For Casey Kane, though, it was a much-needed victory, as we just said, and the emotions he was experiencing it were a combination of relief and just, oh, I did it. And to quote Casey Kane, it could have gone either way, and I'm just glad I didn't give that one away because I knew we had the best car. That's what Kane said following his 16th career victory. If I didn't win the race today, I would have felt pretty bad about giving it away, which is exactly what Jeff Gordon did. The agony of defeat and the spoils of victory, I guess. On the other hand, as we just mentioned, the emotional spectrum was the disappointment being felt by second place Jeff Gordon. You know, we've talked about Jeff Gordon. Let's pop another question out there because we do want to get into some college football talk. Let's pop another question out there to you about Jeff Gordon. Is this it for Jeff? We've talked about it. We've asked our guest about it. We get mixed reaction. This could be it for Jeff Gordon. Not this particular race, this season. I think, and that's okay. Jeff Gordon it's okay to retire. It goes back to that itch that, you know what? I understand. When there comes a time for me to put away this microphone, I'm going to have that itch. Maybe the only way to scratch it is to stay behind the mic. Maybe that's how you feel about your job. But certainly, Casey Kane, in the long run as a team, it was a good win. Jeff Gordon wins with the team. But I think that we've come to a time, and El Presidente is almost never wrong, and when he's wrong, it really doesn't matter because he's always right. But I'm going to make the bold prediction here right now that Jeff Gordon, and put this down, 9:38 Eastern, August 10th, 2013, on the balance, El Presidente told you that at the end of this season, Jeff Gordon will retire. I'm going to archive this soundbite because in November or December or the first of the year, when we get the press releases and we say Jeff Gordon has retired, I'm sure he's going to have something lined up in the broadcast booth. It's not like he's going to be without working. You know, we've seen a lot of – it's that way at every sport, obviously – go into the broadcast booth. And in every race series, we see it in NFL and, you know, we see it in the NBA, Reggie Miller. We see it in, you know, we see it in other sports. Obviously, we see it in football. So, Gordon, it would only make sense that he would go into the broadcast booth. And certainly he'd be well sought out for that. And he's brought up probably one of the greatest race car drivers. Well, in fact, Jeff Gordon probably notably is one of the greatest stock car racers ever. And he'll go down in history of that. And maybe I believe in Michael Jordan's theory, although he had the itch he had to come back too. So, you know, maybe retirement's never always a full-time retirement. But Michael Jordan quit at the top of his game. And I, just over the last few years, I've seen Jeff Gordon go downhill. And it's a fall from dynasty, or a fall from grace, if you will. But he's brought up another, probably will go down as well in that same conversation as one of the top drivers ever in NASCAR. And obviously, I'm speaking of Jimmie Johnson. He basically brought up Jimmie Johnson through the ranks. And, you know, I asked Jimmie Johnson out at Indianapolis Motor Speedway about what does it feel like to be in the stat box and in the same perimeter with Jeff Gordon. And what he says, I don't really think about the stats. I'll let you do that. But there will come a time when I will think about the stats. And of course, I'm excited and never thought in my wildest dreams I'd be in the same conversation as Jeff Gordon. So Jeff Gordon, certainly one of the greatest drivers of all time, but I'm just seeing him slip away. And I don't know that that's just anything other than that we have younger drivers. We have different sponsors. He's not winning races. He doesn't have the marketability that he once had. We've talked about that. We bring her up every show, but unfortunately, people are talking about her. We're talking about her. Danica Patrick, all kinds of marketability, not winning races. Well, if you've got marketability and you're not winning races, that's one thing. Jeff Gordon has his name. Certainly, sponsors line up to have Jeff Gordon by the name. We also look at Dale Jr. Dale Jr.'s name, let's say what you want, and it sounds morbid. All of Dale Sr.'s fans became Dale Jr.'s fans. He became an overnight sensation, not because he was winning races, but because his father tragically died in Daytona. It was a tragedy. And it's good that they can have offsprings like that. Jeff Gordon's got a son. I'm sure that legacy will live on. So there comes a time when every driver has to step out of the car. At what point do they make that decision? I don't know. I'm not privy to that conversation. I don't know what makes them make that conversation. We might have the same conversation. I highly doubt this, but we could have in a few years have the same conversation with Tony Stewart stepping out of the car, you know. But, you know, Tony Stewart has a very private personal life, which is fine. We don't need to know all about his love life as we do Danica and Steinhaus Jr. That's not a necessity for me. I could care less who they're dating, sleeping with, marrying, whatever. I don't know that we'll, again, not trying to make morbid statements here or predictions. If Tony Stewart, going back to him for just a moment, if Tony Stewart keeps doing what he's doing now, which is what he loves doing, and that's racing cars. So we kind of got a catch-22 here. He's going to die in a race car. So at some point, there has to come that time that you've got to step out of the race car and begin other phases, start a new chapter. It doesn't mean leave racing. So maybe it's time to get out of the race car. And I think we're seeing that time with Jeff Gordon, especially after that loss to Casey Kane. I just don't know that he has it anymore. Maybe it was his car. I know, man, there's a lot of Jeff Gordon fans. Oh, man, we don't know Jeff. Well, there's going to come a time when we're not going to have Tony Stewart. We're not going to have Dale Jr. We're not going to have Jeff Gordon. Mark Martin, certainly one of the most legendary NASCAR drivers of all time. Still racing, but not racing full-time like he used to. And even he has said, I've come to the point. And I could be wrong about this. I will look up the stats. But I know he's got to be pushing 55, 60 years old. And to be in a race car and to do that week in and week out, it takes a toll on his body. And I have interviewed and talked and been around racetracks a while now. And I tell you, the older they get, the harder it is for them to get out of the race car. Meaning, at the end of a race. So maybe we're seeing that with Jeff Gordon. But my bold prediction stands, August 10th, 2013, on the balance, Jeff Gordon retires at the end of the season. I don't have anything that says, oh, I don't have a secret source. I don't have anything that's telling me anything different. I just think he's going to retire. And Jeff, honestly, if you retire now, you're not – hold your head high. I mean, you're going to have some great fans. I think everybody loves you. But it's time to retire from NASCAR as a driver. Not as an owner, not as a broadcaster, but as a driver. Well, guys, it's college football time again. We're going to – it is – I love talking college football. And, you know, I had hoped to have Jimmy the intern in. And unfortunately, he had a family member that passed away. And so, that takes priority. Evan had a golf outing. I told him I'm jealous of him. But, and you know, real quickly before we get on here, thanks Michelle for, she's my statistician. Mark Martin is 54 years old and Tony and Jeff are 42. Well, I'm 44. And so I believe me, I'm not a race car driver, but it's harder and harder for me to get up in the morning. Heck, it's hard for me to get up out of my chair sometimes. All right, well, we're going to talk some college football, guys. We'll be right back right after this. We're going to dive into it. We're going to talk some IU. Talk some Purdue. Guess what, guys? College football's back, and we're going to be talking about it. You want to talk some college football? Well, now's your chance. 917-889-8516. We'll be right back after this.
Hi, I'm Mark Timmons of U.S. Water Systems, a family-owned Indiana company that sells water treatment equipment around the world. But we especially know Indiana water because our world headquarters are right here in Indy. You have bad water in your home or business? Whether you're on city or well water, uswatersystems.com makes it easy to solve your water problems. We offer videos, all sorts of water conditioning equipment, and tech support 365 days a year by certified water specialists. U.S. Water has reverse osmosis systems, water softeners, and salt-free water conditioners from $179. Visit us at uswatersystems.com.
Over the course of history, there have been many great revolutions. The French Revolution, the American Revolution, the Cuban Revolution, and now in 2012, there's a brand new revolution for the Fan Revolution, IndyProSports.com. That's IndyProSports.com. Indy Pro Sports is for the serious Indiana fan who roots for the Colts, the Pacers, the Indians, and so much more. Make sure you check out IndyProSports.com. Be a part of the revolution on Twitter, Pro Indy, and on Facebook, Indy Pro Sports.
The University of Notre Dame proudly presents its marching band, the Band of the Fighting Irish.
time, Indians. Welcome back. Welcome back. It's College Football Saturday. And welcome back, my college football fans. I'll tell you what gives me goosebumps. To bring back college football, love talking college football with my minions. One of my favorite things to do on the show. And as I mentioned before the break, we will have Evan and Jimmy the intern on with us as the season moves along as we will. So let's talk a little bit, get a little recap of what happened last year. Obviously, Notre Dame. You know what? Also, speaking of college football, in a very maybe next week or the week after, we're going to have one of our most popular segments make a return to the Balance Radio Network. That's right. Elizabeth the Greek will be back here on the Balance. And I'll let you know about exactly when that's going to happen. Maybe next week, but for sure probably the following week. Once we get into some more into the actual games, we're getting there, guys. We're getting close. We're getting warmed up. Elizabeth the Greek. And if you've not heard Elizabeth the Greek, well, that's just a treat that you're going to have to just wait and see maybe. But, you know, as you know, though, we do archive all of our shows. So certainly if you want to hear any of the shows from last year or anything at all, you know, let us know. But, hey, just to get you warmed up, here's Elizabeth the Greek.
Hi, my name is Elizabeth the Greek. Stay tuned. My predictions are coming up right here on the Balance Online with the host, Tom Mombachi.
And there you have it. Elizabeth the Greek will be back, and we're excited to have her back and talk. Get her predictions every Saturday for college football Saturday, and we're really excited about that. One of our most popular segments, that's for sure. Well, guys, let's talk about this. As we talk about last year, we look at Notre Dame. Could not make it happen. What a great year Notre Dame had. I'm a Notre Dame fan. I'm an IU fan, IU alumni. My love is with IU. It starts there. But let's face it, IU's football is lacking. Hopefully it'll change. Going to get into some of that as the season goes along. We'll be talking Purdue every week. We're definitely going to be talking IU every week, and we'll mix in some Ball State. So we're going to be, and of course, Notre Dame, obviously Notre Dame. And I know a lot of our Indiana Talk fans love Notre Dame. So we're going to be talking about them as the season moves along, and we'll throw in some Ball State and some Indiana State, and whatever we can do. But for the most part, we're going to talk college football as a whole, and that's what we do here at The Balance. What we do is we give you just, you know, enough to know. We have a two-hour show here, and believe me, I realize maybe, we could probably fill another hour easily. We've already broke off to the Hot Corner, which if you like baseball, make sure you listen to the Hot Corner at 2 Hot Corner on Twitter every Thursday night. Indiana Talks at 9 to 10 and 7 to 8 right here on Blog Talk Radio. We talk baseball. So we already have another hour. We just move it on to another day. So there's just so much sports to talk about. We can't get to all of it. But what we try to do is get to most of it, and we certainly just try to talk about it. And I know that a lot of you college football fans said, let's talk about Johnny Quarterback, man. He didn't do it. No. Here's the thing. I don't really care. It's against the NCAA rules. You cannot charge for autographs. And believe me, there's a lot worse scandals going on. And I'm sure as we get into college football Saturday, with $2 Bill Josh and Jimmy the intern and Evan and all, you know, all the other, we'll get into that. And certainly from time to time we'll have Ed Kratz on again and we'll talk some college football. Jeff Kurtz is going to be one of our premier analysts for college football this year. So obviously, you know, he's the author of The Slant. There is a Slant 2014 going to be coming out. So make sure you check that out as well. Well, let's talk a little bit about some of the most overrated and underrated college football players, in my opinion. going into 2013. Certainly, if you've got somebody that you want to add to the list, 917-889-8516. We've got just a few more minutes here, and I want to just go through some names here, and then we're going to take a break. We're going to hook up with Meet Your Makers, Brad and Chris, and talk with what they've been doing at 10:15. Eastern, of course, if you're listening to us live, I know a lot of you don't listen to us live, so ignore my time zones. But in exactly 20, 30 minutes, we're going to have Ed Kratz, Calkins Media, 10:30, $2 Bill, Josh and Chad, a.k.a. Axel. We're going to be breaking down your draft fantasy football huddle. That's right, guys. It's football time. We're talking football. Absolutely. It seems, though, as if the 2013 offseason will never end. But, guys, it has ended. And college football is set to kick off another amazing year. Like I said, gives me goosebumps, full of ups and downs and disappointments and surprises. I like college football as much as I like March Madness. And believe me, that's a lot. So, as you know, as we talk in every season, as we come up to week one, we look at a lot of predictions and prognations, and yeah, try to say that twice. Again, we're in an era of constant media coverage. I know you guys have secluded yourself to believe, hey, the only place I get my stuff, I get my news from The Balance. Tom Mark Patel, Presidente. There is no other source out there. I get that. But unfortunately, there are a lot of other media sources. So, you know, it is what it is. All right, let's get into it. You know, we're talking about some of the most overrated and underrated college football players. I'm going to say it. Overrated quarterback Johnny Manziel. I think, in fact, if Johnny Manziel were to play for A&M this season, the returning Heisman Trophy winner and sophomore quarterback for the Aggies would again be a favorite to challenge for his second Heisman. I just think he's not all that. And we're a few – and now he's charging for autographs. Come on, man. Come on. Took money. All right. Maybe he didn't officially charge for autographs, but he took money for autographs and memorabilia. Whether or not you think that should or shouldn't happen really isn't the issue. The issue is that if he did, he violated NCAA rules. Bottom line, he's a Heisman Trophy winner. He should know better. So, I know there's really nothing else to say about that. I think another player, we talk a lot of different football teams here, but West Virginia. I love their football squad. I love their football organization. Andrew Beau, I think, is totally underrated. I think that if you thought most of West Virginia's high-quality talent has departed from Morgantown for the NFL, you might be right. But you also might want to check the Mountaineers once more. They take the field this year, 2013, obviously. They are more offensively loaded and ready to rack up the stat sheets in the Big 12. Look for big things from Andrew Beau and West Virginia. And, again, overrated quarterback, Blake Bell, Oklahoma. I'm just not that impressed with him. I know summer sessions are underway, but unlike many teams across the nation, the top spot on Oklahoma's quarterback depth chart is still open. And, quite frankly, Blake Bell is in a battle for his job. The media likes to say, oh, Blake Bell, you're awesome. Coach Bob Stoops still hasn't made up his mind. Another underrated player, Kadeem Carey, running back for Arizona. Again, pay attention to these names because we're going to be talking about them through College Football Saturday. When everyone seemingly convinced Marcus Martea, DeAnthony Thomas, and the Oregon Ducks are going to be the next thing out in the West, it's almost understandable why someone like Arizona's Kadeem Carey is entering his junior season relatively unnoticed. So that's one of my underrated players. But, you know, here's the thing. I wish that we had time to get into some more of this, but it is time to get going. Yeah, I know, college football is Saturday, and I know you had to share some time, and that will go away. We will be eventually doing a half-hour racing and then going right into the college football Saturday because there's so much to talk about. And as we move into the NFL, we easily have a full hour that we could fill with the NFL, especially breaking down all the games and stuff. So we're going to be doing that, guys. Stay put right here on the Balance Radio Network. My name is Tom Marquis. This has been College Football Saturday. Don't worry, guys. This was just a taste of what's to come right here on the Balance Radio Network.
Hi, I'm Mark Timmons of U.S. Water Systems, a family-owned Indiana company that sells water treatment equipment around the world. But we especially know Indiana water because our world headquarters are right here in Indy. You have bad water in your home or business? Whether you're on city or well water, uswatersystems.com makes it easy to solve your water problems. We offer videos, all sorts of water conditioning equipment, and tech support 365 days a year by certified water specialists. U.S. Water has reverse osmosis systems, water softeners, and salt-free water conditioners from $179. Visit us at uswatersystems.com.
Today's consumer spends 1.4 times as many hours using social networking sites than reading and responding to email. Marquee Solutions works with your company to build a solid social strategy. They are with you from start to finish, always there to help you navigate through the complexities of social media. Call Marquee Solutions today, 317-903-8063. That's 317-903-8063. Marquee Solutions, work with them today.
See, I'm not good at sports. It's a very small part of life.
Sports, 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 sports. Marge, Bart rides up in the front seat today because he's a good guy at sports.
Okay, it's time to slow down here on The Balance and meet your makers. Tom talks with Brad and Chris from Tecure, a food anthology. You can visit them on the web at tecurefood.com to find out more about them and this worthy cause. Now here's your host, Tom Marquis.
All right, my minions, welcome back to The Balance. My name's Tom Marquis, El Presidente. As we know, every single Saturday, we catch up with Brad and Chris as they travel across the nation in a search for a better way to grow food. And we always enjoy talking with them. And they're on their final leg. They're back on the East Coast, back in the same time zone as us. Brad, Chris, welcome back to The Balance, sir. Welcome back to the Eastern time zone, I should say.
Thanks, Tom. What's going on?
What's going on, man? What's going on? So I want to know, first of all, we're going to get into all of your – it sounds like you guys have had a busy, exhausting week, and I know you guys needed some downtime. Last week we said go see your mom. I know you've spent a couple of days there in the villages just kind of recouping and getting some gas back in your body and relaxing for a little bit with mom in the villages. So how was the villages? And you got to break out and sing the villages.
The villages. I would like Chris to offer his opinion on the villages. I've been here a number of times, and I enjoyed it immensely, but this is his first experience to the villages. And so I think he can best articulate to the people there in Indianapolis, Tom, exactly the splendor that is this great retirement community an hour north of Orlando.
Yeah, Brad, please enlighten us about the villages, because I tell you what, I hear from Debbie and Marty all the time about how great the villages are. So in your mind, how great are the villages?
This is Chris, and the villages
what did
are,
I say? Did I say Brad? I'm sorry.
It's all right. It's a hard thing to describe here. You know, we spent some time in Los Angeles, and there was some murderous traffic out there in the West. But if you take all of those cars and replace them with golf carts, and then take all those hair salons in L.A. and replace them with golf courses,
That gives you a pretty good idea. It's like you enter into Walt Disneyland for adults. All the little village centers are constructed by Universal Studios designers. You enter little slices of the Wild West and kind of little Mexico and here and there. And it's an interesting place. I've never seen so much golf, never seen so many golf carts.
Well, it certainly does seem like everybody seems to be very, very happy here. And you can't blame them. It's kind of like summer camp where you have activities and great cafeterias and, you know, all your friends are just lounging around, social hour every day, all day.
Favorite summer camp,
no doubt.
Right. I you know what, I've heard all about all the activities that go on there in the villages. And you know what, Brad, I'm going to tell you what, I was privy to some behind-the-scenes video of you in the villages with your sister, which is our producer and social media director, humming Frosty the Snowman, singing live karaoke, getting lost in a golf cart. It's all out there. And so, you know, I just want to let you know, I did see some behind-the-scenes video of you enjoying the villages with your sister a while back.
Email me that footage. Chris at chrisgriffin.com. I'd love to see that.
The world needs to know.
I think Dad was talking to Snowman last week, so that really doesn't change too much.
Well, you know, I think that Frosty is Brad's beloved superhero. Well, before our time melts away, bonk bonk, let's get into what you guys did throughout the week. And you know, I was looking through the talking points, and really, I mean, you guys needed this break from what I read. And we left off. You guys were getting ready to go on the shrimp boat with Bubba Bubba Gump Shrimp. No, I'm kidding. But go ahead, talk with me a little bit about your experience on the shrimp boat. What was that like?
Well, it was an early morning. We got up at 12:30 and left our tasting and drove for a couple hours. We met Zach and Eric down in Houston around 3 a.m. and followed them to the boat. So we kind of took off from port there in Kima, Texas, and we actually did pass a bubblegum shrimp company on our way out to sea, out to the bay, I suppose. But fun fact about bubblegum shrimp, at least in the Kima, none of the shrimp probably come from that bay. Probably talking about frozen shrimp from who knows where. But, it's an awesome, awesome, awesome project that we've got going. Eric and Zach are artists, and they started shrimping to connect people to the bay community and the bay environment, and kind of a historic environment. So they started shrimping, bringing people on board, teaching them about shrimping, and using those people as part of their art piece. But especially Zach has really fallen in love with it, and I think he might have a future as a shrimper. But we helped them sort out their shrimp. We helped them run a couple catches until some nets got tangled and our boat nearly sank.
I don't wish for misadventures from you, but I have to admit, every week I look forward to hearing about adventures that you guys go through that amaze me how you guys got through it. So you guys moved on, and then you literally got off the boat and drove 21 hours out to New Orleans, spent a little time on Bourbon Street, and had to catch a nap in Old Blue in 80-degree weather. So talk with us about New Orleans, the French Quarter, Bourbon Street, what you could talk about on the air anyway.
Bourbon Street is an interesting place, Tom. I had gone as a very young youth, and I think it's Chris's first time to New Orleans in general, but it's just a party there year-round. It's just a party. I mean, everybody's serving alcoholic drinks right from the window, and we're not talking artisanal drinks here. We're talking 3/4 of a cup of booze and a splash of Coca-Cola, which is, you know, there's absolutely nothing wrong with that, especially when you're in New Orleans to get your party on. But I actually was, you know, I'm a gullible individual. I'm from Indianapolis. I was shoeshine hustled by a fellow on the street, of which I wasn't even wearing
shoes. Hustle.
I wasn't even wearing shoes, but he asked me, where you got your, he said, I bet you $10 that I can tell you where you got your shoes. And I'm like, well, I don't believe you can do that. And but I was like, you know, maybe he's an expert in shoes. He does this all the time. As it turns out, he was referencing the fact that I got my shoes on Bourbon Street in New Orleans, Louisiana. And so it wasn't quite what I was expecting him to come back with. And I had to give him credit for the fact that he was accurate on where I got my shoes. And so I, as being an honorable man that I am, I paid him his fair deal for his 5 minutes of hustling work. But no, we had a good time in New Orleans. We had one of the most rough, one of the roughest sleeping nights that we've had to date. We had a pretty rough one in Port Townsend, Washington, as I think we spoke with you guys about a month ago, where it was freezing cold. But this one was just blistering hot, and it's like sleeping in the sauna in the back of the van. We were literally sweating the entire time. So these are some of the fun character-building moments of life on the road, but you couldn't have it any other way.
Well, we're talking with Brad and Chris, the shoe shine hustle. I love it. Well, I don't love it, you know, but, hey, you know, it's good stuff. Go to www.qcarefew.com to check them out and all of what they've got going on. Obviously, every week we like to try to recap what they've done in the week past and what they're doing. And real quickly, guys, I know we ask you this every week, but we want to make sure that those who haven't heard you yet or don't know who you are understand what it is that you guys are doing. So tell us what you guys are doing and where you're headed next.
All right, Tom. So on May 19th, Brad and I set out from Boston, Massachusetts on a journey across the United States. We were traveling 3.5 months, 15,000 miles, stopping with small batch artisanal craft food producers. So we spent time with brewers, bakers, cheesemakers, winemakers, picklers, and learn who they are, learn what motivates them to produce what they do, and also learn a little bit about their craft and their trade. And we've been documenting this with photo and video on our website, www.2curefood.com. It's also on our Twitter and Instagram, at 2curefood. And as we head out of Florida here, we'll be moving up to Columbia, South Carolina. We're going to be working with Bob, who's a craft cocktail expert in Charlotte. So we'll be stopping in Columbia, South Carolina. We'll be going to Charlotte tomorrow morning working with Bob. He's a craft cocktail expert, and he's bringing in some close friends of his who make an artisanal gin. So we'll have some nice early morning cocktails and learning a little bit about the craft and art of the cocktail and what goes into making a good artisanal gin. And from there, we're heading up basically to Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. We're going to spend a couple days there with the Chatham University Food Studies Program, as well as some local food artisans in Pittsburgh, from Pittsburgh to Buffalo. In Buffalo to Rochester, I believe Cleveland somewhere in there as well. So that's kind of the next week.
Well, Brad and Chris of 2 Cure Food, we love having you guys on with us. Now, so really this leg of it, you guys spent some time resting and drinking in early morning hours. So, you know, I had a hard time distinguishing the difference between New Orleans and the Villages.
They're kindred spirits.
They are kindred spirits. I love it. I love it. So now you guys are getting ready to let me ask you this. When is the grand finale, if you will? When do you guys make it back to Boston? I guess that where I'm getting out of here is how much longer do you guys have on your mission here?
Well, we don't really have a home until September 1st, so we're looking to get back around August 31st.
And you know what? Also, guys, I got to do this for you. And Chris, you're going to love this. So without further ado, in Brad's honor, guys, I just want you to listen for the next minute 33, because this is in Brad's honor.
High blood pressure, low cost.
He got you. And guess what? You get a shine, you get one.
I get a clean.
Yes, sir. You get a new shoe clean. Put that shoe right there. You want to take a picture? Let him take that picture. Put that shoe right there.
I'm making a movie. It's a movie.
Where y'all from, Dad? Where you from?
Atlanta, Georgia. This is your first time here in New Orleans?
Yeah.
Hi, my name is Dan Shoeshine, man. This is how I make a living. At least Robert Stiller is selling drugs to you,
man. No, man. No,
come on.
No, I don't want to go.
All right, play, man. It's okay.
I do them all.
No, they're fine.
Huh?
No, they're fine. I swear they are. Appreciate it.
I can tell you last night.
Come on, that's my brother.
I'm going to tell you last night. Sure you can. I'm not doubting anything now.
I'm going to smile for the camera. There you
all
go.
All right, I got the money.
Let's see if that guy pays.
He's paying.
You got to pay. Help you lay it out. Help out.
We do so much.
Help out.
How much
you're
am I helping you out?
No,
I already...
Yeah,
I got 20 bucks.
10 is 10. That's what that guy said. I kept him all day long. I
don't want to. I mean, you got to take that back home and blow it up and put it on the internet and don't forget what you got there.
You're going to need some cash for this picture.
Well, you know, it's his phone.
No.
This stuff y'all been putting on day and day. High gloves,
no cost.
He got.
All right, Brad, Chris. As you know, Brad, you're not the only one who's got the shoeshine hustle. So
oh,
you know,
good,
I.
Oh, man, they are good.
As I was doing my show prep, I came across that, and I said, that's just too good to pass up. So I appreciate the story. Like I said, well, part of this, what we love doing is not only hearing about the good things that you guys are doing, but just the things you find yourself in, the adventures that you guys find yourself in. And what I want to know is, Chris, are you guys going to get the shoeshine hustle of Brad and his shoeshine up on your website?
Actually, I didn't get it on video, Tom. It all happened so
darn
quickly.
The luck, right? Darn the luck. I'll share this one with you. All right, guys, Brad, Chris of Q-Cure Food. Real quickly, guys, and honestly, getting back to the seriousness of what you guys do here, www.qcurefood.com. Check them out. They're doing a great deal, guys. Talk with us a little bit about maybe something that we haven't asked you about today, what you'd like to talk about. Certainly, we don't want to leave you guys empty-handed, and we love talking with you and catching up with you. So on the serious side, back to business, what's going on with QCureFood.com?
Well, Tom, we blew all of our money in a casino in Biloxi, so we could really use some funds getting home. We've got a support page up on our website, so if anybody wants to throw some change our way, we'd be mighty grateful. Otherwise, it's going to be a long walk back to Boston.
You know, we thought for sure that last $40 on red was going to get us home, but it just didn't pan out.
Granny next door was swimming in quarters.
Well, let me ask you this. You guys did a cheese pairing last night in the Villages. Did you not raise any money there, or?
That was part of that paid for part of the trip. Kind of prepaid for it. We were very grateful for the folks that came and supported us. We do have another 3 weeks on the road. If anybody wants to do another cheese pairing, just give us a shout out at chris@2curefood.com or use our comments page on the website. We'd be happy to set something up in the next 3 weeks if you're in the Northeast.
Well, we'll definitely get that information up on our social media and our information for you as well. And, guys, certainly go there, www.chewcurefood.com. Donate some money. I'm sure that they could use it. We don't want them to – you know, they did the Bubba Gump Shrimp Company scene from Forrest Gump. We don't want them to do the cross-country scene from Forrest Gump. So they want to get home and back to Boston and back to school. So you guys got a great summer vacation that you guys have had, and certainly we're looking forward to seeing the final product of everything come together. With I hope that you guys are putting together a little mini video or mini web video or web movie of all of your adventures from when you left Boston and from the time that you returned back home. Where can people find your work, your masterpieces? Obviously www.qcurefood.com. They can find you on Twitter, Instagram as well. Follow you on Instagram. Where can people find you, stalk you, anything else that they can locate Brad and Chris? Where in the world is Brad and Chris?
So again, Tom, the www.2curefood.com, also on Instagram and Twitter @2curefood, Facebook/2curefood. If you see a theme here, you can follow us along at our interactive map on our website. And, yeah, I'll give you Brad's phone number, but I'll leave that to him.
Well, I don't need, you don't need to give out any phone numbers. If you guys want to contact people, they can do that. As soon as we give out our phone number, you know, you guys will have all kinds of people calling you. So, you know, we'll keep the stalking down to a minimum. Brad Chris of Two Cure Food, a food anthology, guys. I love catching up with you. I'm glad that you guys were able to get some R&R with Debbie and Marty down at the Villages, and we love them too. So, guys, any final thoughts for us? Because I gotta go. We gotta start talking some football, my friends. Some football.
Debbie says hi, Tom.
Debbie says, hello, Debbie. We're going to get Debbie on the show one of these days. And having Debbie on the show will be a real treat, let me tell you.
This is an excellent idea. We'll talk football with you all day long.
I know she'll definitely talk IndyCar with me. have you guys left the Villages? Is that where you're at now?
We're sitting outside. We're leaving the Villages today, Tom.
You're leaving the Villages today. All right, guys, break it out. The Villages, let me hear it.
The Villages. That's all I got. They do have cheerleaders down here that I'm sure can do it quite a bit better than I can.
All right, guys, we'll talk to you next week. Brad and Chris of Two Cure Food, guys. You guys have a good week. Be safe.
Thanks, Tom. See you next week.
All right. Brad and Chris of Two Cure Food, www.2curefood.com. Check them out. Guys, we're going to be right back. We're going to be talking some football. Ed's, I can't even talk after these guys. Ed Kratz is joining us here in just a moment. We're going to be breaking down the Philadelphia Eagles and the New England Patriots. And coming up at 10:30, we're going to be bringing it back. Chad, a.k.a. Axel, $2 Bill Josh, and Fantasy Football Huddle. Stay right there.
Today's consumer spends 1.4 times as many hours using social networking sites than reading and responding to email. Marquee Solutions works with your company to build a solid social strategy. They are with you from start to finish, always there to help you navigate through the complexities of social media. Call Marquee Solutions today, 317-903-8063. That's 317-903-8063. Marquee Solutions. Work with them today.
Head in the game. My name is Turbo. I just wanted to go a little faster.
Yes! 17 minutes! That's a new record!
Let's go, people! Pick it up!
Put all that racing nonsense behind you and start living your life!
I have a life? I wish I was fast. Oh, no. What's happening to me?
Slow down for a second.
Are you kidding?
I'm never going slow again.
This must be my lucky day.
A little far from home, aren't you? Garden snail.
You clearly got the skills to pay the bills. If snails had to pay bills, that is. I'm Whiplash. This is my crew.
I'm fast, like a shadow.
But shadows, they're not inherently fast.
What a shadow.
I can still see you.
With my brains and your speed, we should be destined for greatness.
The Indy 500.
This is ridiculous. A snail cannot race in a competition meant for cars.
Wow. Aren't you just a little ray of sunshine? All of these people, they believe in me.
Those guys are crazy.
Those guys are awesome.
I'm moving so fast, the whole world's going in slow motion, baby.
Whoa. If you think that's something, check this out.
Hey, you a robot?
Are you radioactive, homie?
Ooh, that's a new one.
Here we go. Move 20! Move 20!
Football. Catch the fever. The ball to king.
And now let's talk some football.
It's about to be a lot of fun today.
The weather's been nice down here, huh?
Yeah, it has been.
Welcome back to the Balanced Up Final Half Hour. We take off, and yes, it is time to talk some football, some NFL. And I tell you what, like I mentioned earlier, talking some college football gives you the goosebumps, but talking NFL and hearing that NFL music and bumper music just gets the juices going. And speaking of football juices, who's been drinking the Kool-Aid for the football Eagles for a little while now, Mr. Ed Kratz, Calkins Media, beat writer for the Philadelphia Eagles. Welcome back to The Balance, Mr. Ed.
Hey, great. Thanks, Tom. Thanks for having me.
Hey, man. I tell you what, we want to jump right into this. I know you've been at camp with the Eagles. Before we get into last night's game and some of the takeaways from that game and what you saw as far as with Brady, Vic, and the Eagles and the Patriots coming together in the preseason, break down camp for us. What's happened in camp? Anything that surprises that has happened? How did Vic look in camp? All the stuff going on with Cooper? Bring us up to speed with the Philadelphia Eagles.
Well, there's never a dull moment over at Eagles camp, I have to tell you that. It's only been 2 weeks since they put the pads on for real on July the 26th, and the team's had three players tear their anterior cruciate ligament, including wide receiver Jeremy Maclin, who was their leading receiver last year. He had seven touchdown catches and I think 69 receptions. So he's gone for the year, and then 2 days after he tore his ACL, the special teams linebacker that they signed, a very good special teams player and probably would have helped them on defense at linebacker, Jason Phillips, tore his ACL. And a few days after that, wide receiver Aurelius Ben, who they acquired from the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, never quite lived up to his potential down there. He tore his ACL. So there's all sorts of, you know, conspiracy theories as to why so many players are tearing their ACLs, because head coach Chip Kelly doesn't have his players tackling to the ground. That doesn't mean that the practices aren't physical, and they do quite a bit of tackling in individual drills, but when they go 7-on-7 or 11-on-11, hands off, no tackling. You cannot tackle to the ground. So that's kind of been the big theme. And then, of course, there was the Riley Cooper incident that you talked about.
Right, absolutely.
Very unfortunate, very bad. Him using that racial slur. The video came out of him at a Kenny Chesney concert back in June. That showed him using, a very vulgar, he used the N-word, really, is what he used. And, it sort of divided the locker room. And the Eagles they didn't suspend him, but they fined him basically one game salary, which was close to $40,000. He was fined. And then after they fined him, and the next day the players, you know, sort of took sides, and some of the players didn't like what had happened and what he had said. So after hearing some of the players' reactions, they decided to send Cooper away to sensitivity training, which they did. And 3 days later, I guess he was cured because he was back on the practice field. you know, I wished it was that easy. But, you know, clearly this team needs him because of the injuries that I just mentioned at the wide receiver spot. Jeremy Maclin's ACL, or really is Ben's ACL. They're a little thin there, so they need him. And, you know, at last night's game, there wasn't any sort of negative backlash. I thought there might be some boos when, you know, he came onto the field or, you know, when he caught a pass. He did catch a pass. But, you know, the fans, you know, the fans that were at the Eagles-Patriots game last night cheered him. So I think that, you know, the locker room is a different situation, and I think that's coming together a little bit. If you listen to some of the senior leadership on this team, some of the veteran leadership, I guess I should say, on this team, they seem to say that everything's going to be okay, and the players, you know, they have to have short memories, and you have to have the capacity to forgive. Cooper, certainly, when you talk to him, seems genuine in his apology and his sincerity, but you just wonder, you know, how deep – you know, what he said runs. But I think, you know, that they're kind of getting past that a little bit.
Well, certainly. No, go ahead.
I'm sorry. No, I was just going to talk about Mike Vick. But, yeah, go ahead and ask me a question, Tom.
That's that's actually where I was going. But certainly I was going to say Michael Vick has been the voice of reason in all this. And Michael Vick, if anybody knows what it's like to become a PR nightmare overnight, and really Riley Cooper – in a lot of ways, a lot of people didn't even know who Riley Cooper was till this happened, and it's kind of a split thing with me. I guess we're more astonished. I'm certainly not minimizing it and saying that he was right or wrong, because he was definitely wrong. But we're more astonished by Riley Cooper's off the cuff comments, as insensitive as they were. He's certainly not the only one in the nation that probably uses that word, and it is a word that shouldn't be used, and quite frankly, should be removed from our vocabulary. But that's all it was at the end of the day, was a word that was insultive. We're more worked up about that than we are about Hernandez, what appears to be, in some cases, a mini serial killer. And, you know, maybe I'm going too far on saying that, but at the same time, there's been a lot of things that's come out about Aaron Hernandez, and everybody's just, oh, let's just wait and see. We're not that worked up about Aaron Hernandez. So I guess we're less worked up as a society about murder than we are about a racial comment. Now, they're certainly both wrong.
Yeah, well, absolutely.
If you know what I'm saying. But
correct.
So, sir, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, I think, yeah, people were absolutely worked up about Aaron Hernandez, you know, back when, you know, the whole investigation was going on and they were searching his house and then they arrested him. And, you know, now I think some time has passed and, you know, Aaron Hernandez is going to continue to come in and out of, you know, conversations across America as he makes appearances in court and then he goes to trial. But, you know, it's been a couple weeks now and, you know, the Cooper thing is still kind of fresh. It's only a week and a half old. And the whole question with him using that word, and, you know, I thought Jason Kelsey, the Eagles center, said it best, is, you know, we're taught when we're 2 and 3 years old that, you know, that's just not a word you use. And, you know, if you're using that word, the question becomes is, you know, has he ever used that word before in his past when he was at the University of Florida with Tim Tebow and Aaron Hernandez, for that matter? You know, how is it actually racism? Is he a racist or is this just a one-time incident fueled by alcohol, which he admitted he was drinking at that concert? Doesn't excuse it. But, you know, that was kind of the issue was, you know, is this guy a racist? And will, you know, his African-American teammates in the locker room be able to accept him or be able to look at him, you know, differently than, you know, after this has happened. So I think that was kind of the issue. And again, I think they're moving past it. And just like Hernandez, I think this will eventually go away and it may crop up again if something is proven in his background that maybe he would, you know, he has said this before, or he has shown any racism, but, you know, and Aaron Hernandez is a bigger name. Like you said, Cooper, not many people knew about him. He was a fifth-round draft pick out of the University of Florida, never really, this is his fourth year in the league, and he really never did a whole lot in his first few years. But, again, they were counting on him this year. He's a big target, 6'4", 220 pounds. Chip Kelly likes his receivers to block, and he seems to do a good job with that, so. You know, it doesn't excuse what he said, but, you know, I think eventually this will get, you know, put aside, just like Hernandez. But Hernandez will continue to come in and out as we, you know, as he goes forward and proceeds with his trial and whatnot.
Well, absolutely, and we certainly want to get on to the business at hand. We're talking with Ed Kratz from Caucus Media, beat writer for the Philadelphia Eagles, talking about, obviously, the Riley Cooper incident and all the injuries in camp with the Philadelphia Eagles. But joining us also is Axel, Chad, a.k.a. Axel. How are you doing, sir?
I'm doing good, man. Just busy. Good.
We're ready to go, and Chad obviously joins us often with our fantasy football huddle, and we're going to be talking about fantasy football, and as the Colts get ready for their first preseason game against the Bills coming up this Sunday. Can I get an amen, brothers? Yes!
Yeah.
So, woohoo! nothing against the Eagles there, but, you know, this is Colts country here, Ed, but The Eagles and the Patriots obviously had a preseason game last night. Some of the takeaways as we look at Michael Vick becoming the starting quarterback, at least in the preseason. Has Michael Vick kept his job with the Philadelphia Eagles? And what are some of the takeaway guys? And we'll start with you, Ed, from last night's game, the Eagles and the Patriots.
Well, I mean, you know, obviously that's the big story here in Philadelphia is the quarterback battle that, or the competition, I guess I should say, between Michael Vick and Nick Foles. No one has been really anointed the starter, and I think I've written my 1,000th story on the subject that's going to run tomorrow. But, you know, it just seems that, you know, both quarterbacks do very good things during practice, and they both do, you know, things that are mistakes that need corrected. No one has really separated themselves. And Chip Kelly probably will take this competition right up through the fourth and final preseason game. He almost alluded to that much last night after the game in his post-game press conference that, you know, he'll have a quarterback in place when they begin game planning for the Washington Redskins, who they open with on Monday Night Football, September 9th. That's pretty much what he said, when they begin game planning for the Redskins. So he was asked, well, will there be any game planning for that game done before the preseason ends? And he said no. So, you know, to me, unless one of them falls flat on his face or gets injured, this is a competition between Michael Vick and Nick Foles that's really going to go throughout the rest of this month, and we're just going to have to monitor it. I'm going to have to continue to write about it, and I think both players are handling it very well. They say the right things, and, you know, last night, for instance, Michael Vick came out in his first series. He led the Eagles on an 80-yard touchdown drive. He threw a beautiful pass to DeSean Jackson for a 47-yard touchdown. He played one series after that, moved the team a little bit, but then they sputtered and they had to punt. Nick Foles came in, three plays in, he fumbles, breakdown and protection up front, but fumbles it. Patriots get it. Eagles moves defense, stops them. Then the Nick Foles comes out again for his second series, and he leads them on a 66-yard drive in a no-huddle, up-tempo offense where he looked like a surgeon, just picking apart methodically the Patriots secondary, who took him down for a touchdown. Chip Kelly was using some very varied, very innovative formations, I thought. But, you know, again, Kelly and Foles and Vick, look, there's no separation, and it's making Kelly's job very difficult.
Well, certainly, I think you've inherited a lot of probably Notre Dame fans who are now Eagle fans by association. Joining us also is Chad, a.k.a. Axel, $2 bill Josh, also part of our fantasy football huddle as well. And we're going to get to Josh's comments in just a moment, but we'll start with you, Chad. What are your thoughts as you look at the preseason, as you get ready for the draft coming up? When I speak of draft, I speak of fantasy football draft. It is kind of one and the same in the reality. We get just as worked up about it. But, Chad, as you look at the Eagles and the Patriots, and you look at the Eagles and the Patriots last night, and obviously, we deal with the Patriots a lot more than what we deal with the Eagles, with the Indianapolis Colts. And you look at the Colts getting ready for their first preseason game against the Buffalo Bills coming up on Sunday here at Lucas Oil Stadium. Chad, what are your thoughts? What are your takeaway as you look at the Eagles, the Patriots, and the NFL getting ready for fantasy football draft?
Well, Patriots, I mean, it's like it's almost a shift in philosophy. I mean, Patriots went to that vertical Randy Moss game in 2007, and ever since then they evolved into a two tight end approach. Then their playoff record, as much as you like, I mean, it's like they have been to two Super Bowls, one Super Bowl since they went to that two tight end approach, but they didn't know Aaron Hernandez stuff was going to happen. what I did notice is basically teams were clogging the middle and taking the underneath out because they weren't respecting the Patriots' outside wide receivers. And that possibly played a part in Bill Belichick's decision to basically part with Wes Walker, knowing that he was possibly taking a chance with an equivalent but younger version of Wes Walker in Danny Amendola, who is a little more injury-prone than Wes Walker. But I noticed the same thing, Tom Brady being Tom Brady, and if the new wide receivers that are brought up, they are like a well-oiled machine. If you look at their system, their offensive line blocking and other stuff, as long as their offensive line coach, I think his name is Carnicchia, he's around, their offensive line blocking and discipline is going to be the same, and they will exploit the best matchups. Tom Brady will get rid of the ball quickly, and it will be in the – he still has a gun of an arm, I can tell you, Brady. But then it's the key is basically how teams can disrupt down the middle. He still won't take sacks. He'll throw it away, but that's how the Giants, without extra pressure, have – generated pressure on Tom Brady, but he looked sharp as ever to me.
Well, I was just saying, we're talking NFL with Ed Kratz, Calkins Media beat writer for the Philadelphia Eagles. Chad, obviously one of our premier fantasy football stars and great knowledge of the game for fantasy football players, and $2 Bill Josh, my partner in crime during the football season this year, both college and NFL. Mr. $2 Bill Josh, as we look at the preseason, we look at the Eagles and the Patriots game last night, and we break down that game from the takeaways. What are some of the things you saw, and any questions you guys have for Ed, fire away, by the way. Feel free to do that. But go ahead, Josh.
All right, well, I don't mean to be disrespectful to Chip Kelly or even to you, Ed, but I have to know, what type of Kool-Aid is Nick Foles serving in Philadelphia? I by no means thought he looked like he was ready to be the starter. I thought Michael Vick had by far the best performance. But there's another player I want to talk about. It's not related to quarterback. Tell me about Vinnie Curry. That guy was all over the film yesterday. Is there any chance he could work into being the starter? Is he a backup? What's Chip planning to do with Vinnie Curry?
Yeah, you know what? Vinnie Curry, Chip talked about him last night. He looked really good putting pressure on. And Vinnie Curry gained about 15 to 20 pounds in the offseason. Last year, he was sort of a forgotten player under Andy Reid. He was a second-round draft pick. They had two second-round picks last year, and he was the second of the two that they took in the second round. And, you know, it took him about six or seven games last year before he got on the field, and he was a little bit light. But Chip Kelly absolutely really liked what he saw from him last night. You know, another guy that really showed up on film was Damian Square, a free agent from Alabama, who looked pretty good. But, you know, I think, you know, most NFL teams like to have depth at that on that defensive line just to kind of rotate guys in and keep them fresh because it is such a difficult position to play, obviously, you know, with rushing the passer and stopping the run. So I absolutely think Vinnie Curry is going to play a role on this team before all is said and done. And last night was a good step in the right direction for him.
Well, guys,
as far as Foles goes, I mean, Foles, to me, I mean, maybe you saw the drive he led him on last night, but it was certainly an impressive drive. And, you know, I've been at practice every day, and Foles looks very good. Foles gets rid of the ball quicker than Vic. It looks like, you know, Vic has come a long way since spring when, you know, I was told by a source that he was not getting the offense down at all and was really struggling to pick it up, and I thought there might be a situation where they cut him before the end of August when he do another roster bonus. But, you know, Vic, once they put the pads on, Vic just really shows up, and I think his mobility will eventually win the job. But, you know, I don't think you can discount Nick Foles in this race just because I think he is a very accurate passer. He throws well when he gets out of the pocket. And last night in that up-tempo offense, Kelly wants to run. He just, to me, he looked, you know, like, I don't want to say Joe Montana because that's a heavy expectation, but he looked very, very good running that up-tempo offense.
All right, guys, I want to talk on the other side of last night's game, and certainly we've had a lot of games this week to break down, so feel free, guys, to throw in any conversation about any of the games or preseason or camps that you have noticed. Obviously, the culture in camp, so we want to get into that conversation. But one name is the elephant in the room we've not brought up. I'm going to bring him up, guys. Mr. Tim Tebow, I think, is going to be the replacement.
Seriously, you want to talk about a third-string quarterback?
Tim Tebow.
He's going to get cut, Tom.
He ain't going to get cut. I think he's going to take the place of Hernandez. Go ahead, guys. Give me your thoughts. Tim Tebow.
No, absolutely not. Absolutely not.
Go ahead,
fullback. Fullback. That's the most he'll play. Fullback and punt protector, that's the most he'll play. And he will listen to Bill Belichick because he has no aspirations of replacing Tom Brady and vying for a starter and no possibility of vying for a starter. So let's get those thoughts out of our heads. And just because Aaron Hernandez is out doesn't mean he's going to play tight end. Have you seen him catch? And do you want Tom Brady to suffer the ignominy of turnovers because Tim Tebow let one through his hands?
You know what? I don't know why everybody hates Tim Tebow. Makes him sound like
that's
great.
Because you have to look at it objectively, Tom, based on his abilities. His abilities are fullback and a running quarterback.
I so much want to draft Tim Tebow just to say I drafted Tim Tebow in the
Go ahead. I'd love to play every week.
Now, Ed,
I think you'd be making a mistake. You know, the Patriots practiced with the Eagles all week. They practiced 3 days this week, and not once was Tim Tebow used in any other position than quarterback. They didn't have him at tight end. They didn't have him at fullback. You know, Bill Belichick is going to make him a tight end, and he's going to make the team because they only have three quarterbacks, and you need three quarterbacks. To me, Ryan Mallett's the backup. Tim Tebow will be third string. I don't think Tebow is going to be active very many Sundays. I think the best you can hope for from Tim Tebow is Brady's 36 years old now. He's been in the league for 14 years. The best I think you can hope is that Tim Tebow learns how to play quarterback under Tom Brady, under Bill Belichick, and his offensive coordinator, Josh McDaniels. I think that's the best you hope for. And then in maybe 2 years or next year, whenever Brady calls it a quits or begins to decline, then maybe Tim Tebow's ready. But that's going to be at least a couple of years. Tim Tebow will not be active very many games. He won't play tight end or fullback.
There's something to be said for that when you look at Aaron Rodgers and Brett Favre. $2 bill, Josh, what are your thoughts, Tim Tebow?
First of all, I don't think Tim Tebow is athletic enough to play tight end in the National Football League. And I would venture to say, based on the fact that Mallett got injured, at least for the next couple preseason games, Tim Tebow might play the second through the fourth quarter, depending on how injured Mallett is. I don't actually know serious injury. But as far as playing in the regular season, forget about it. Not going to happen. I think he was more of a character signing. I think the Patriots signed him. They knew 2 years ago there was problems with Aaron Hernandez. They knew Mayo had problems. They knew other players had problems. They wanted somebody they could take out in the community to say, look, we do have somebody with good characters on this football team.
Look at their roster, Tom. Look at their roster. Shane Vereen has been split out as the flanker on so many plays. He is the one who's going to benefit from Aaron Hernandez reps going to someone else. Shane Vereen, mark it down. He's a RB2, RB3 worthwhile drafting in fantasy football. Maybe I gave you a segue for fantasy football.
Listen, fantasy football, Zach Sudfeld is a guy to keep an eye on. The Patriots tight end, he's a free agent. He's a 6'7 kid. He looked really good during practice in the week. He's going to take over for Aaron Hernandez. His name's Zachary Sudfeld. He caught a pass last night, 22 yards. Big, strong kid. Looks like he can get open. He's somebody to keep an eye on in fantasy football, as well as their second-round draft pick, Aaron Dobson. He showed up real nice in practice this week.
Yep,
and Aaron
yep.
Dobson, you know, he might be a guy you can grab later in the draft, but he's going to be another guy that Brady's going to find often this year.
Well, guys, we had some other.
Ballard, the former Giants tight end that they picked up waivers, he's a very good red zone option. Plus, Patriots like to play multiple tight ends, and they like to keep tight ends who can be both blocking and receiving tight ends. Aaron Hernandez was on the field for less plays than Rob Gronkowski when both of them were simultaneously healthy. Just goes to show you how much the Patriots depend on those blocking tight ends who can also catch. And Ballard is one of those guys. He showed good hands in scrimmage as well.
Well, guys, also, we had some other games going on last night. The Dolphins and the Jaguars. Dolphins really taking care of business against the Jaguars. And the Panthers coming out on top over the Bears. The Texans over the Vikings. The Saints over the Chiefs. But the game I want to talk about, and again, going back to the whole Colts connection, it was good to see Bruce Arians on the sidelines. And I know it's just preseason, guys, but it was exciting to see. And we have a lot of Colts fans by association are now Cardinal fans, and I'm rooting for the Cardinals this year. And Bruce Arians, I thought he had a great showing game one, even though it's preseason against the Packers, guys. Well, let's look at that. We'll start with you, Ed. The Cardinals, the Packers, Bruce Arians. I think it was that's a good fit for him out there.
Well, I absolutely agree. I think it's a real good fit for him. You know, they've got some talent on that team. And, you know, they came out, and I believe that score was 17-0. I think they shut the Packers out, which, you know, I don't think Aaron Rodgers played, you know, very long. And I know that they have some injuries up front, the Packers. But to shut any team out, no matter who it is in the NFL, you know, you really have to hand it to the defense. And I know Bruce Arians is an offensive guy, and, you know, they put up 17 points. But you're right, Tom. I'm rooting for Bruce Arians. He was a guy that I wish they had hired here in Philadelphia instead of Chip Kelly. You know, not to be negative against Chip Kelly, but, you know, I really like Bruce Arians, and I really hope and I think he will do a good job in Arizona.
I won't contribute in terms of answers. I'll just contribute in terms of questions. How did Honey Badger look? I heard he had a fantastic camp, and their defense was as good as it was last year under Ray Horton. So how did the Cardinals' defense look from a fantasy perspective with Honey Badger playing?
Josh, you want to take that one?
Yes, I thought Honey Badger looked all right. I thought the Arizona Cardinals' defense looked really good last night, really solid. I'm not sold on the fact he'll be able to stay on the football field. Does anybody know if Honey Badger still... Well, you might have a better idea than we do. Ed, is he still in the drug prevention program? Is he still under league-mandated counseling? Or is he good to go now?
The Honey Badger, Mattel, mm-hmm. Yeah, I believe he's still under, you know, the NFL watch program, and he's being tested. And you know, I think, you know, everybody deserves a second chance, obviously. And if Mattel can stay clean, you know, I think he's going to be a great addition to that team. Last night, I believe he had you know, he had a sack, he had four tackles, he had a pass deflection, he hit the quarterback once. I'm looking at the stats right now here, and that's a heck of a good game there for a rookie, you know, to have four tackles, a sack, you know, a pass deflection. So, you know, if he can stay clean, and it seems like he's saying all the right things and said that before the draft, he's a guy that, you know, from a fantasy perspective, I would certainly take.
Well, you know, we look at this game, and, you know, one of the things we kind of look at is from the aspects of a fan watching a preseason game. That game last night against the Cardinals and the Packers, I think, was probably one of the better preseason games we're going to see this year, guys.
I'll have to take your word. I didn't see a single minute of it, but, you know.
I wonder why.
I was watching my own game, but I'm looking at it here. Rodgers threw five passes. He was 3 for 5 and 62 yards. So he obviously did not play very long, but still, you know, the Cardinals showed something to me by coming out and shutting them out. You know, it's only the preseason, but to shut out any team anytime to me is terrific.
Well, guys, I want to get into some fantasy football talk as we prepare for our draft. And certainly, buy, sell, or trade, we're going to do an abbreviated version of it and maybe a kind of a mock draft, if you will, just very quickly because unfortunately, when we get to talking about football, we there's so many things we could go on and on and on about, and we just lose time. We just lose time. But as we look at some of the mock drafts, guys, we'll just kind of go through some positions, and certainly feel free to use your own first round how you'd want to use your first round. But I always like to start with the running back position as my first picks. A lot of people go with different positions. Josh likes to go with a defense first, but no, I'm just kidding. But I like to go with I like to go with a running back. You know, I missed out on him last year, and I don't know that I'll have the first round because we have an automated computer-generated thing. I might have the first round, but if I have the first round, I'm going with Adrian Peterson. I missed out on him last year. I drank the Kool-Aid and thought he wasn't going to be that good. He proved himself that he is back and back to stay. Adrian Peterson, guys, first-round pick. And we'll start with you, Ed. Who would you pick in the first round, whether it be running back, wide receiver, quarterback, whoever that might be?
Oh, boy, that's a tough one. You know, I'm so Tom Brady'd up right now after watching him practice. I mean, I've seen him playing games, Tom Brady, and this week I had a chance to actually watch him practice for the first time for 3 days. And, man, I just love the way he works, and I love the way he plays. And I know he's got, you know, some young receivers and some tight ends that are new, but, you know, I'll tell you, it's a tough call. A guy that I might take first, though, would be, and it's not a homer pick, but I might go with LeSean McCoy for the Eagles. I think he's going to have a huge year. You know, Chip Kelly's going to throw the ball to him a lot. You know, last year or 2 years ago, he had 20 touchdowns, which set a team record. And I just think LeSean McCoy, he did not play last night. He's got a little bit of a knee issue that's not serious. But, you know, I think LeSean McCoy, he had 73 receptions under Andy Reid 3 years ago. And, you know, I know they're going to line him up wide as a receiver. They're going to get him the ball in the, out of the backfield. And, you know, I would probably go with Shady McCoy for the Eagles.
And, guys, next week we're going to try to do a full hour and do a complete mock draft next Saturday. So keep that in mind if you guys can be a part of that. All right, Chad, you're on the block. Got 30 seconds. Who's going to be your first round?
Oh, first round, definitely not a quarterback because you can play only one quarterback, whereas you play three running backs because the drop-off between Tom Brady and Tony Romo is not that huge. Between Aaron Rodgers and Tony Romo is not that huge compared to the drop-off of quality running backs, especially when you have to stock at least two good ones and possibly a third flex one. And running back position being a position of attrition, and when it gets cold in December, and when the fantasy playoffs happen, so it's good to have the running back position where they are almost guaranteed to have touches. So I'd always almost unanimously go running back.
So who's it going to be?
who's it going to be? Was it the number one pick or was it the first round?
No, who would be your first pick right now? If you were to pick right now, who would it be?
My very first pick, of course, Adrian Peterson, hands down, was the number one pick. But if it's the first rounder, if I'm picking 5, 6, 7, I definitely look at Trent Richardson, Alfred Morris, definitely.
All right, $2 bill. Josh, if you were to pick right now, 30 seconds, who would you pick?
I would pick Dez Bryant. And as far as Adrian Peterson goes, I don't think you should take him first in this year's fantasy draft. We don't have time to get into it, but there's a new crown of the helmet rule. Adrian Peterson and Trent Richardson will not be the same running back now if the new rule is in place.
Well, guys, my next pick, if I had to pick right now, would be running back for Tampa Bay, and that would be Doug Martin. I think he's a great pick. And honestly, outside of Adrian Peterson, probably the best running back coming into the league this year as far as fantasy numbers go. So if I was to pick right now, I'd definitely go with Doug Martin. Ed, if you was to pick right now, who would it be?
Boy, I would probably go with Larry Fitzgerald, maybe a receiver down there in Arizona. I'd probably go with Larry Fitzgerald. I think he's probably the best receiver. Maybe Calvin Johnson. It would be a tough call there. But I'd probably go with Fitzgerald, you know, under Bruce Arians. I think they're going to find a way to get him the ball.
Our producer chimed in. She says her first pick is still going to be Eli Manning. And that's just because – and I wish I had this thing ready, guys. But you got to go there and watch football on your phone. The Manning brothers do a commercial for I think, DirecTV. It is classic. But she's just an Eli Manning fan. So she's going to pick Eli Manning no matter what. So Eli Manning, number one, goes to our producer. She wanted to get that out. Nobody else can have Eli Manning but her. All right. Chad, real quickly, you got the last pick, and then we gotta wrap things up, buddy.
It's a second round pick or first round pick?
Just whoever. Second round would be fine. Yeah, go ahead.
Second round, I'd look for depends. I mean, in a snake draft, if you're at the bottom of first round, then you turn around, you can mix and match wide receiver and running back. And if you've gotten a running back already, I'd look at eight. Man, he's been prolific. He didn't have the sophomore slump that like, people predicted, and I don't know that the Bengals have improved the wide receiver options that much besides Mohamed Sanu, and I'd still go A.J. Green based on all his numbers.
All right, guys, I'm going to let every one of you guys have 20 seconds in the jungle to rant about whatever you want to rant with. About, we'll start with you, $2 Bill. Josh, you got 20 seconds. Go.
Come on out to the Lucas Oil Stadium tomorrow at 1:30. Colts, Buffalo Bills. Look them. See if E.J. Manuel or Kevin Cobb will be the Bills' starting quarterback.
All right, Ed, go. 20 seconds.
Well,
whatever you want to rant about.
Preseason games, four games, way too long. I think NFL Commissioner Roger Goodell needs to look at the preseason schedule, take away two games. Two preseason games is all you need. Let's get the regular season started, and let's increase that schedule to 18 games.
All right, Chad, real quickly, 20 seconds.
Well, I think it is the NFC's turn again in the Super Bowl. There are way too many strong contenders in the NFC, but the AFC is basically, I'm so glad Andrew Luck is in the AFC, and I'm sure the Colts are going to really make a push for the division title.
All right, guys, that's going to have to do it. We've been joined by Ed Kratz, beat writer for the Philadelphia Eagles for Calkins Media. Ed, where can people find your work and your masterpieces, sir?
www.phillyburbs.com/Eagles. You'll find all my stuff on Twitter. It's at KRACZE. Thanks, Tom.
All right. All right, Ed, we'll talk to you soon. Guys, that's going to do it for us, and that's it. We're out of here. My name's Tom Marquis, L. Presidente. Thanks, Chad, a.k.a. Axel, and $2 Bill Josh. Next week, we're going to have our one-hour special draft, mock draft. We're going to go through all the positions and do a draft. You've already had your draft. We're going to have some fantasy football players on, owners on to talk with us as well, guys. So I'm going to tell you what, you don't want to miss next week's fantasy football special. We're going to at least do 1 hour, maybe a little bit longer. That's for sure. Well, guys, that's going to do it for me. I'm out of here. Remember, don't drink and drive. It isn't cool. And just remember, hey, guys, be a sport fan. Don't be one of those nuisance guys that just nobody wants to be around. Guys, we're out of here. Remember, don't drink and drive. It isn't cool. We'll talk to you guys on Thursday, and if you're listening to our encore show between 3 and 5 on Indiana Talks, my name's Tom Marquis. I'm out of here. Peace.